Greetings, friends, greetings. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Marjorie Nunes. You're listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350wnlkradio.com or on radio WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Wisdom's Talk. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? Join me then as we search the Word to find new meaning for our daily lives. Again, you're listening to Wisdom's Talk. Join me this hour as we seek the Word of God. And now as we continue, we'll just listen a little bit to give thanks with a grateful heart. Are you giving thanks with a grateful heart for all that God has done for you? We'll be right back, so stay tuned. Get your hearts ready for the Word as we will look at today. What is our priority? What is our top priority as we continue to seek God and seek God's face and seek His grace and His mercy? Wisdom's Talk. We'll be right back. We're back with you now as we seek the Word. We seek the Word, and we're going to begin by looking at a text today. Again, my subject title for today is, what is your top priority? And the scripture we are coming from today is from the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, and we will be reading from verses 15 to 22, the Word of God, and it's subtitled Paying Taxes to Caesar. So now hear the Word. It says, then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? They said, do you hear that sentence? What Jesus said, that verse, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying tax. And they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Now here's the Word of the Lord. And so as we begin to unpack this scripture, let me just stop for a moment and ask the Lord to be with us as we seek His Word. Loving and gracious God, we just ask you by your holy presence to stop by here with us for this moment as we seek to unpack your Word. We ask you, Lord God, to guide us because we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Holy Spirit, be among us and be with us over the internet or in radio land or on the phone. We know that there is no distance in prayers. And so bless those who are listening today, Lord God. You know, each and every circumstance and each and every situation, we hand it over to you, Lord God, in Christ's name. Amen. And now when we have looked at that text, we have read, it is given unto Caesar what is Caesar. That is Matthew 15:20. And I want to begin by reading a little reflection that I had read, and because we want to decide what is our top priority. And it goes like this. A young lady was soaking up the sun's rays on a Florida beach when a little boy in his swimming trunks, carrying a towel, came up to her and asked her, "Do you believe in God?" She was surprised by the question, but she replied, "Why, yes, I do." Then he asked her, "Do you go to church every Sunday?" Again, her answer was yes. He then asked, "Do you read your Bible and pray every day?" Again, she said yes. By now, her curiosity was very much aroused. The little lad sighed with relief and said, "Will you hold my quarter while I go swimming?" "Do you hold my quarter while I go swimming?" the little guy said. And then the little boy was straightforward and honest in his questions, because he wanted to entrust to the lady something valuable. Do you understand? This little boy wanted to entrust to this lady something valuable. So he wanted to go swimming, and he wanted her to hold his quarter. Isn't that amazing? He knew that was valuable to him, and he wanted her to hold it. Now, in today's scripture lesson that we just read, Matthew 22:15-22, the Pharisees were not being honest. They have no intent in entrusting Jesus with anything. They are not looking for the answer to a question. They don't want someone to hold their quarter. They are looking for a way to get rid of this troublemaking Nazarene named Jesus. You see, they're not like this kid who wants to do that. They're looking for a way to get rid of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm getting at? They're looking for a way to get rid of him. They do not want to do anything and to understand anything from him or to hear from him at all. That's not their plan at all. And so here we are here in this place, and we know that something is going to happen. The Pharisees were so angry it blinded them. That's when the Pharisees plotted a way to trap him into saying something damaging. So they sent their disciples with a few of Herod's followers mixed in to ask the question that I just read for you from the text. And here's the question again. They says, "Teacher, we know you have integrity. Teach the way of God correctly. You know, and you know, don't give us any popular opinion. Don't pander to your students. Just teach the way of God correctly. So tell us honestly, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Right? That's the question they're asking. They want to entrap Jesus. Remember, friends, when we're serving the Lord, folks want to entrap us, right? There are many folks who want to entrap us. We've got to be careful. And so Jesus knew they were up to no good. So he said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me?" Because Jesus knew what they were trying to do. "Do you have a coin? Let me see it," he said. And so they handed him a silver piece. They handed it to Jesus. And this engraving, Who does it look like? In essence, Jesus is asking him, who does it look like? And whose name is on it, right? This is exactly what Jesus is asking. Who does it look like and whose name is on it? And they said, Caesar. They said, Caesar. And so Jesus said, then give Caesar what is his and give God what is his, right? And the Pharisees were speechless. They went off shaking their heads because they couldn't trap Jesus, you see. It's a fascinating story. We look at the Pharisees and we shake our heads. How could they have been so wrong when the truth was standing right in front of them, we would ask. I believe they were upset because Jesus held them accountable and exposed their hypocrisy. Teacher, we know that you are sincere, they said to him, and teach the way of God. Not for a moment did they believe in Jesus' sincerity. It was a setup. It was a way of putting him at ease before they stabbed him in the back. See, the Pharisees were good at that. They used to tell, you know, they wanted to get him. So they says, tell us then, they continue, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? So they wanted to get him. And I tell you, Christian believers and those who may not be believing, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and you choose to follow him, be prepared that folks are going to try to what? Stab you in the back, you know, and folks are trying to get you off track. Be prepared. Folks are going to try to do that. I suppose we ought to be grateful to the Pharisees. In their questions, which Jesus says was motivated by malice, they prompt one of the greatest of Jesus' teachings. It may not seem like much on the face of it, but the implications of this teaching have echoed through centuries and they have shaped Western societies. Jesus said clearly, he said it, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Let us now ask three questions, you know, this evening really, and find out why this little teaching has had such a great influence on Western societies, on us, that as this teaching has had such influence on us. There are three questions it asks, this teaching. What is Caesar's? What is God's? Which will you choose? Here are the three questions. What is Caesar's? What is God's? And which will you choose? Now, I want you to ponder that for a moment. What is Caesar's? What is God's? And which will you choose, right? And we need to get this. What is God's? What is Caesar? And which will we choose? Which will you and I choose this day? For, you know, we have to be clear about what we should choose. So I'm going to go back and give you a little bit of music, and then we'll be back as we ponder that, as we listen again to a little bit of the music. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. And okay, friends, as we give thanks with a grateful heart, as we give thanks with a grateful heart for all God has done for us, we are asking the question again, what is Caesar's, what is God's, and which will we choose? What is Caesar's, what is God's, and which will we choose, right? What is Caesar's, what is God's, and which will we choose? And so when we let's begin with what is Caesar's, as we ask that question, what is Caesar's, right? Because we know that we live in a world, you know, where there's a lot of Caesars. Our problem is that there are many, you know, too many Caesars before which we stand accountable. There are too many Caesars before which we stand accountable. All of us, you know, we have the Caesar of our children. Our children can be a Caesar because we want to give them everything. You know, when you think about it, our cars, our houses, our jobs, the ball game, everything becomes a Caesar because guess what? We are giving our all to them, right? We're giving our all to these things or people. That what becomes our Caesar. And it's impossible to please them all. It's impossible to please all the Caesars in our lives. And so we have to be careful. We want to understand Jesus' teaching here. Rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's is more than some folks feel they can handle, right? Rendering to Caesar what is Caesar, we get confused. It becomes complicated for us and we become confused. And then the next question, which is the key question, what is God's? What is God's? But, you know, it's a scripture that says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. What is God's? We have to decide what is God's. And there's another scripture that says, you shall have no other gods before me. So here's this thing. Jesus is throwing it back at the Pharisees, telling them, they knew the law. They were Jews. They knew the law. You should have no other gods before me. He's saying you should figure it out. Pharisees and Sadducees, you should figure it out that you should be giving unto God what is God's and give unto Caesar what is Caesar. You know that you should have no other God before God, no other God before Yahweh. And we as Christian believers know Jesus told us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it's up to us, isn't it? We have to make the choice. So my third question is what choice will you make? What choice will you make? What choice will I make? And again, the larger question is, what is your top priority? What is my top priority? We have got to make the choice. And so there's a hymn that I like. It is an older hymn. It says, it's called Take My Life and Let It Be. And the words go like this, the first verse. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. And then the third verse says, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. And the fourth verse says, take my silver and my gold, not a mite should I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Everything about me, take it, Lord. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. That is choosing what God, choosing God, giving back to God what is God's. And this is the first thing we should be doing. Caesar should be way down on the list. God should be the top priority. There's another old song that says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Oh, praise God. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Oh, have thine own way, hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. And so, friends, you're listening to Wisdom's Talk. And we again just looking at how we can surrender everything that belongs to God, making that our top priority, surrendering to God what is God, and because we know that without God we are nothing, and but with God we are everything, and we want to be careful of that. We want to be able to understand that God is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He sent Jesus Christ to come into this world, and everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. So we want to, again, play a little bit of music. We want you to hear again a little bit of Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart as we listen out to these words, and we just seek God's face.
Give thanks because he's given Jesus.
You're listening to Wisdom's Talk as we just worship the Lord, because we know we are making Him our top priority and we're giving thanks for what the Lord has done. So we give thanks with a grateful heart. You're listening to Reverend Nunez on Wisdom's Talk, which you can find on the internet at 1350wnlk.com. Or on the radio, you could also hear on the radio WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 as we give thanks with a grateful heart. And you could hear us on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Wisdom's Talk. The question for us each and every day is, does what we believe, the question for us each and every day is, does what we believe make a difference in our lives? Join me every Wednesday and Friday as we search the Word to find new meaning for our daily lives. And when you join me on Wednesdays and Fridays, it's from 5 to 6 p.m. as we seek God's Word again. Does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? If it does not make a difference in our daily lives, then we ought to stop doing it and do something else. And so we thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior today. We thank God for His Word, for His Word is true. His Word is like it was a two-edged sword, and it cuts through bone and marrow and bring forth truth. His Word is what corrects us. And we know that, you know, we want to hear God's Word, because that's what will help us to do what is right in this world, to give unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God's what is God's. We thank God for you coming and listening with us, for you hearing me today on Wisdom's Talk. We look forward to sharing again with you as we seek God's Word to be in right relationship with God. We thank God for His grace and for His mercy and for His loving kindness, and we pray that God will bless you. We pray that the Spirit of God will be with you and guiding you, and that you will seek to make a difference in this world by following Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you Jesus, Savior for all the world, freely given to all of us, a gift freely given to us. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, rest and abide with you now and forever. Amen. For the second part of our teaching, and you're listening to Wisdom's Talk this afternoon. You're listening to Wisdom Talk as we continue our second part of our teaching. First part of our teaching was on what is your priority, and now the second part will be gratitude, an expression of love. Gratitude, and you know, we are in the time of the year when we really are thinking about gratitude and thanksgiving. And so here you are again on Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Marjorie Nunez, and you're listening to Reverend Nunez on the internet at 1350wnlk.com or on radio WNLK 1350 AM and on WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Wisdom's Talk. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? And if so, or join me as we search the word of the Lord, the word to find new meaning for our daily lives. Join me now, friends, as we continue on Wisdom's Talk. And we give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks because of what God has done for us. We give thanks. We give thanks to God for his faithfulness. And so we'll be continuing now with the second part of our teaching. As you listen just briefly for the rest of this beautiful song, give thanks. And so we give thanks. We give thanks for God, for Jesus Christ, for our Lord and Savior. You're listening to Wisdom's Talk with Pastor Marjorie Nunes. And now I want to begin this second part of my teaching with this reflection. And here's my thought. My title for this section is Gratitude, an Expression of Love. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew. I was thinking for a moment that I was going to be reading from somewhere else, but I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 22:34-46. The earlier teaching was also from Matthew 22, and this one is from Matthew 22 also, but some later verses. And so now hear the word of the Lord. As we come before God, let us just ask God to be with us. Holy God, we just ask you to be with us by your Holy Spirit, and let your word go forth, because we know that your word is power. We know that your word changed lives, and we know that your word is yea and amen. And so now, Lord God, we just come before you, and we just give you thanks with a grateful heart. Now hear the word of the Lord, friends, as we read. Hear the word of the Lord as we read. And the word said, this is Matthew 22 now, right? You just hear the pages going. Forgive me for that. But here we are. Here we are doing that, settling in to do what thus saith the Lord. And this section is entitled The Greatest Commandment, right? The Greatest Commandment. And here's the word of the Lord beginning at verse 34. I did say verse 34. Yes, praise God. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And as we continue in verse 41, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David? They replied. He said to them, How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for God's word. And so here we are, as I am continuing in the second part of our teaching, and our title for this section is Gratitude and Expression of Love. And I just read from Matthew 22 and verses 34 to 46. So let me start with a little brief story, which I like to do at times, to set the tone, right? And this is subtitled, Just a Person Across the Way. Just brief little reflection. And here it goes. Edgar Guest, a renowned American poet, at the turn of the century, tells of a neighbor by the name of Jim Potter. Mr. Potter ran the drugstore in a small town where Edgar Guest lived. Guest recalled that daily he would pass his neighbor and how they would smile and exchange greetings, but it was a mere casual relationship. Then came that tragic night in the life of Edgar Guest, when his firstborn child died. He felt lonely and defeated. These were grim days for him, and he was overcome with grief. Several days later, Guest had reason to go to the drugstore, ran by his neighbor, and when he entered, Jim Potter motioned for him to come behind the counter. Eddie, he said, I really can't express to you the great sympathy that I have for you at this time. All I can say is that I'm terribly sorry, and if you need for me to do anything, you can count on me. Many years later, Edgar Guest wrote of that encounter in one of his books. This is how he worded it. Just a person across the way, a passing acquaintance. Jim Potter may have long since forgotten that moment when he extended his hand to me in sympathy, but I shall never forget it, never in all my life. To me, it stands out like the silhouette of a lonely tree against a crimson sunset. I do hope that people are able to say of me at the end of my life's pilgrimage, when we were sick, he came to us. When we needed help, he was there. When we was down, he lifted me up. In short, I hope that my ministry is remembered for simple acts of kindness. For if that is the case, then my life would have been worth it. And I might have come close to fulfilling the greatest commandment in my life. Love God and love your neighbor. All right? And so again, the preaching I want to do for the moment, this reflection is gratitude, an expression of love. Gratitude is defined, friends, as the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. And so let me give you some points on gratitude that I found out. Gratitude makes us happier. Do you know that gratitude makes us happier? 2, gratitude makes us healthier, right? When we're thankful, when we live a life of thankfulness, it makes us happier. Gratitude makes us more optimistic. Do you know that people who are grateful always see the glass, you know, half full, three-quarter full? Gratitude reduces materialism. Gratitude reduces materialism and we stop focusing on self. Gratitude increases spiritualism. You know, that spiritual part of our being, gratitude does. Gratitude makes us less self-centered, right? It's not about me, it's not about me, it's not about me, right? Or it's not just about you or just about you. If we look at it, we tend to look at the world differently, and we are not so much the center of the universe. We realize that we are only one little part of the universe. Gratitude increases self-esteem because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And then gratitude improves our sleep. You know, when you're grateful, it really does improve your sleep, friends. Gratitude reduces feelings of envy. Gratitude helps us relax. Gratitude makes our memories happier. Gratitude keeps you away from the doctor. Do you know that? Gratitude can keep us away from the doctor. Gratitude lets us live longer, much longer, because we live a grateful life. Gratitude makes our memories happier. You see, gratitude is no cure-all, but it is a massively underutilized tool for improving the satisfaction, for improving life satisfaction and happiness. Now, friends, because we know that we are loved by God, we can then extend love. And I'm talking about agape love, which is the commitment of devotion that is directed by the will and can be commanded as a duty. Saint Augustine said about God, he said to God, "By loving the unlovable, you made me lovable. By loving the unlovable, you made me lovable." God loved us when we were unlovable. So here we are, when we look at Matthew 22:34-46, we see this part of the text. It ends, this part of the passage ends all the entrapments that were orchestrated by the religious leaders during Jesus' final visit to Jerusalem. Because earlier, as I talked in the earlier portion, they were constantly trying to entrap him. But this section now ends all of that, right? Ends all of that. And so here, so for a while, you know, they were thinking of how to get Jesus again. They had been at it for a while, trying to get him. In Matthew's telling of the story, Jesus was involved in a long series of disputations with the Sadducees, the lawyers, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and their disciples. In each confrontation, he proves himself more careful, clever, and inspired than his adversaries. They couldn't get at him. But before being silenced, a legal expert from among the Pharisees asks Jesus one last question in order to test him. And here's the question: which commandment in the law is greatest? That's chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 36. Which commandment of the law is the greatest? For Jesus to answer wisely will be a confrontation of his teaching authority. It seems that after a long day of verbal battle, even the Pharisees begin to lose steam and wonder whether their efforts had been worthwhile, because they were trying to entrap him and they couldn't. Jesus' answer is classic. Jesus said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Now here, let me break this down a little bit. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart. The heart is regarded as the center of a person's thought and emotion, especially love or compassion. We know, yes, that the heart is that place that pumps the blood, that muscle, but it's also the center of a person's thoughts and emotion, especially love or compassion. And the soul, and with your soul, and the soul is the spiritual or immaterial part of the human being. The spirit is that part that doctors can't find our soul. When they operate on us, they can't find our soul, you see. And with all your mind, the mind. Your mind is a part of a person that thinks, reasons, feels, and remembers. So God, Jesus was saying here, you should love God first with your heart. It's a thing of the heart. It's a love story, which is your emotions and especially your love and your compassion. Then your soul, that spirit being, you know, your spiritual being. And last but not least, your mind. See, Jesus did not go to the intellect immediately because he knows the intellect gets us confused, right? So it's first the heart and then the soul and then the mind. And then he says, this is the greatest and the first commandment, right? And they were waiting, wanting to entrap him. And he says, and a second is like it. You should love the Lord your neighbor as yourself, right? The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. One on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus said to them, here's the deal. You got to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the first commandment. And the second is like it. What means you should love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the neighbor doesn't mean the person living next door to you, friends. The neighbor means everybody who doesn't look like you, who may not dress like you, who doesn't have money like you, who's not from the same race. You shall love your neighbor with your heart and your soul and your mind. Loving God is the first thing, the most important thing. But when it comes to a corollary, it is to love God means that you also love God's people. Loving God means that you have to love God's people. How much we need to hear that now here in this world. The rabbis put it in similar terms. The rabbis say, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole law. The rabbi says, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole law. When Jesus questions them about the Messiah and his relationship to David, they were stumped and finally silenced. Jesus were able to silence them with this commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Loving God is the first thing, friends, the most important thing. But with it comes this responsibility, which says to love God means that you also love God's people. And so, friends, we want to be able to understand that, right? That we are. So what happened after all of that discussion with Jesus? The Pharisees and the lawyers, they were silenced. The Pharisees finally withdraw from the fight. And on the next day, they hatched a plan that will remove the troublemaking prophet and permanently silence him. They would try to come up with a plan to permanently silence Jesus because they could not figure it out. He was telling them, like we need to hear now in our culture, to love everybody. We need to love the Christians. Christian needs to love Christians. We need to love friends. We need to love our Jewish brothers and sisters. We need to love our Muslims brothers and sisters. We don't have to love what folks do, but we need to love them. Love them with all of our heart. We need to love what our Chinese neighbor. We need to love our Italian neighbor. We need to love our black neighbor. We need to love them with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And so we understand that. And so, friends, I'm going to bring you to, some music now as I play something come into my heart. I'm going to play a little music for you now, friends, so we could reflect on what thus saith the Lord. Okay, as we hear this music now, we will just listen to what the Lord says.
Jesus, come in today. Come in today.
Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory.
As we worship Him, we remember that gratitude is an act of love. This afternoon, it's an act of love, and you're listening to Pastor Nunes on. You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk, and we invite you to again to listen to us on Friday as we again seek the Word of God. Wisdom Talk. This is where you could hear the Word of God as we decipher the Word of Truth. You could hear us on 1350WNLKRadio.com, which is on the internet, or on radio, WNLK 1350 AM, and on WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Again, you could listen to us these evenings. I know you need to forgive me a little bit. I says afternoon, but it's the evenings on Wisdom Talk. This and the question again for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? What does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? I thank you for being with me this day. I pray God's blessing upon you. And now unto Him who's able to keep you and me from falling. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.